This is early 1966 at the factory in New York City. This is a symphony in sound. You're hearing the soundtrack of a Warhol film. Andy himself is behind the camera, and the Velvet Underground are jamming. Sterling Morrison and Lewis Reed on guitars, Mo Tucker on drums, Nico with a tambourine, and her son Ari with a maracas. I don't think you can hear them. Yeah, there was a time when there weren't any freaks. The freak was a really weird thing. This was freaky. This was scary. This was druggy and degenerate and homosexual. This was the street. This was the kind of street your parents warned you away from. Tonight I'm going to listen to the Velvet Underground. They were the first avant-garde rock band, and in many ways they went the furthest anybody ever went. And I have some recordings I never heard before that I just got. I think it's time to build up from here. This is 1965 to 1968. It's the Kale period. But it didn't start with this. No. Started with something a little earlier, just a year earlier, just maybe 8 months earlier, July 1965, long before they met Andy Warhol in a loft down on Ludlow Street. John, Sterling, and Lou were writing new songs and rehearsing.
All tomorrow's parties take 7. 1, 2, 3, 4. Shit. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4.
No, leave off the 4.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. What costume shall a poor girl wear to all tomorrow's parties? A hand-me-down dress from who knows where to all tomorrow's parties? And where shall she go and what will she do when midnight comes around? She'll turn once more to sun. Cried behind the door. And what costume shall the poor girl wear to all tomorrow's parties? The silks and linens of yesterday's gowns to all tomorrow's parties. And what will she do? Child, when Monday comes around, she'll turn once more to Sunday's clown and cry behind the door. What costume shall the poor girl wear to all tomorrow's parties? The Thursday's child, the Sunday's clown, for whom will go mourning? A black and shroud, a hand-me-down gown.
They already had that song 6 months before they met Andy Warhol, and that was his favorite Velvet Underground song. And this is the Waiting for the Man that they worked up in that hot July afternoon in 1965.
I'm waiting for the man. Take three.
Don't you holler, darling, don't you
with a Dylan-esque harmonica and a sudden burst of Velvet's viola noise after a harmonica solo, Cale making a statement about that. A prefiguration in early, a rougher version of Waiting for the Man. And even rougher here is Heroin.
Thank God that I'm not aware, and thank God that I just don't care, and don't know. And I guess that I just don't know.
See, it was already there. The basic structure of the song. Heroin. From July 1965. 6 months before they met Andy Warhol. And here's Venus in Furs. Now in context. Ah, oh, this is so beautiful.
Strike, dear mistress, cure his heart. thousand dreams that would awake me, different colors made of tears.
Sterling and Lou Reed had known each other since they were kids and they'd gone to the same college. Cale met the two of them when, at least met Reed when he had a band called The Primitives, and they were touting around a song of Reed's called The Ostrich back in 1964, and they needed a backup band, and Cale was hired to be part of that. I'm not sure of the date of this. I'd like to think it's from April 66. They played in The Primitives, and then they decided to work together because it was fun, and they had similar ideas. They all tuned their guitars to the same note and everything. And so by the summer of 65, they were trying to put these songs together, obviously different kinds of songs, and there are others. And they met Al Aronowitz, who also knew the Beatles and Bob Dylan. He was the guy who introduced Dylan to the Beatles and when they first smoked pot because of Dylan and all that stuff. And Aronowitz liked what he heard with these guys, and he unofficially sort of managed them for a little while and got them a gig at the Cafe Bazaar, where they only lasted a few days. The management didn't like what they played. They were too weird. But they met Andy Warhol there. Barbara Rubin saw them. And then Warhol came to see them. History was then made. And he put them in the Exploding Plastic Inevitable, which we're hearing some of the soundtrack of right now. This is also some of the Exploding Plastic Inevitable. Melody Laughter, it's called. And the Velvet Underground would perform primarily with their backs to the audience. That's why Warhol, Paul Morrissey, whoever, brought in Nico to perform with them, because they were not visually powerful, except that they were just playing this incredible, extraordinary music. And then so there was the Velvets. There were dancers, like theatrical dancers like Gerard Malanga, Mary Warren of whip dancing in front of them. And then there was the crowd mixed all around them. And movies were being projected all over the place, and there were all kinds of lights, and it was a big light show, and this was the music. Such is famous history of the Velvet Underground. Well, they went to Warhol got them a little contract with a producer. They went into Scepter Studios in April 1966 to lay down some of their tracks. They were only there for about 8 hours, so it was not really an album recording session in the traditional sense, as they were only there for 8 hours, and yet they somehow managed to knock off 9 songs. And an acetate of those 9 songs was found in 2002 or 2004. And I got the MP3s of it today. And it's pretty extraordinary. So this is the Velvet Underground as this Melody Laughter fades down. This is the Velvet Underground.